Always, you ought to go up and talk to them and ask questions, and you let them know that you're interested. Let them know that you'll pray for them. If you will do that, take one of their prayer cards. But always ask God, God, what is it you would have me to do? Every time there's a message given out, it ought to be the question that we ask ourselves is, Lord, what is it you have for me? What is it, Lord? Should I be a part of this ministry? Do I need to take part in it? Do I need to help support it? Do I need to pray? Whatever it is, you ask the Lord, and let Him guide you that way. And I tell you, if you'll do what you can do, God will do what He can do. I tell you what, there'll be something good come out of that. All right, and so you do that if you would. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6 tonight. I've entitled the message tonight. It's really, I'm going to give you two messages, and I'm going to combine it into one. So, and I'm not even going to charge you for the second one. It's just going to be thrown in there for free, because that's just the kind of guy I am. I'm nice that way. The title of the message tonight, The Lesson of the Loaves, or How to Minister to People. How to Minister to People. All right? And so we want to look and see what the Bible has to say for us here tonight. Mark chapter number 6, verse number 30, the Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." In other words, they had already been out on a preaching mission, as it were. They went out, and the Bible says that they had healed people, they had cast out demons, and they had done all kinds of things like that. And they were excited about it. And they're coming back, they're giving a report to the Lord there, and they're telling Him all the great things that they've been able to do. And by the way, that's exactly what the Lord wanted them to do. Verse 31 says, And He said unto them, this is Jesus says, "Come ye apart, yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Verse 32 says, "They departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and went out went them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far spent. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' He answered and said unto them, 'Give you them to eat.'" In other words, Jesus is telling them, you give them something to eat. "And they said unto Him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?' He said unto them, 'How many loaves have you? Go and see.' When they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and all the fishes. And they that eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." And of course, that doesn't count the women and the children that was there in that group. Then I want you to look down in verse number 52, and this is one part, one verse that we get part of the message from, where it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord just to bless and use the message tonight to speak to our hearts. Lord, we sure do thank You for the reading of Your word. I pray that You would bless and use this message, Lord, that it may speak to our hearts, Lord, to help us to learn something from Your word tonight. Lord, help us to change. Help us to, Lord, that You'd show us something that needs to change in our life, Lord, that we would be different when we leave here tonight, not be the same. And I pray that, Lord, You'd speak to each and every heart, especially there may be somebody here tonight that's lost and need to be saved. And I pray that You would just use the message in whatever way You'd see fit. And we sure will thank You for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as I know, this is the only miracle that we find that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. We won't take time to turn and read every one of them, but we are going to look a little bit over in John here in just a few minutes. But in this passage of Scripture here, we find something that Jesus is doing something that's natural. He's feeding 5,000 men and, of course, women and children there, and we don't know how many that was, but he's feeding a multitude of people. Now, when I say this is natural, it's a supernatural miracle, and I don't want to take away from that in any way, shape, or form. But the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, I don't believe is really what the Lord is trying to get across here as he gives us this passage of Scripture, and especially as it's in all four of the Gospels there. This account of the feeding of the 5,000, it's a great miracle, and I'm not trying to discount it in any way, shape, or form. But I believe Jesus is taking something that's natural, like feeding people, and he's going to try to teach his disciples something about how you minister to people. You see, the greater need here is not that these folks were hungry, because they ate and they were filled. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that they took up fragments of all that was left. And they had an abundance of food left over. But guess what? The next day, they're going to be hungry again. They're going to eat this bread. They were filled, but they'll be hungry again. And I really don't think that Jesus was showing us this or telling us this necessarily more than he was trying to teach something to these disciples here, these apostles, and I believe he's wanting to teach us also. You see, the Bible tells us in many places, there's many places in the Bible where the Lord takes something natural. I'll give you an example, like when the Bible says that a sower went out to sow. Now, we understand from that, and he tells us a little bit later on, he says, now, you know, when the sower went out to sow, you know, he tells us that the seed is the Word of God there. And he's taking the Word of God and he's sowing it out there. You see, he's not telling us how we're to go out and plant a garden. He's not telling us how we're to go out and plant our yard and sow seed there. You see, he's telling us about how man's heart, there's all kinds of different conditions that man can be in, and his heart has different conditions that he can be in. Crowded heart, a hard heart, and on we could go with that. See, he's not teaching us about planting crops. He's wanting to teach us about man and how powerful the Word of God is. And so as we look at this passage here, I want you to see, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to see. Let the Word speak to our hearts tonight about how we can minister to people and the lesson that he's trying to get across to us here, and I believe here this evening. All right, so the first thing I want us to look at, we're going to look at three things here tonight. Now, there's, of course, many things under that, but three main things that we're going to look at tonight. First of all, I want you to see, as he's talking about the people. All right, there's three groups of people here that we're going to look at. Look in verse number 33. The Bible says, and the people saw them departing. Now, we don't know who these people are. We don't know how many they are. And we really don't know anything about them. But the Bible describes them as the people. That's who they are. They're the people. And what it is, here is a group of people, a multitude, men, women, boys, and girls. They have come out. And there's probably many reasons that they're going to come. We're going to look at them here in a minute, some of these reasons. But one of the reasons, no doubt, they're coming out, they want to hear what this man has to say. They've not made up their mind yet. They don't know who he is. They don't know really what he's all about, but they're curious. They want to hear what he has to say. And by the way, they've also heard that he feeds people from time to time, and he also can perform miracles. And so these people, they're going to come out, and they're going to watch him. They're going to look at him. They're going to try to find out some things about him. They came, the Bible tells us in one place, that because they saw the miracles. Now, look over in John chapter 6, and we're going to stay over there for just a minute before we come back over here to the book of Mark. All right, so turn over to John chapter number 6, and we're going to look at a few things here, what the Bible has to say about these people. All right, in John chapter 6, in verse number 2, the Bible says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. In other words, these folks were diseased. They were people that had all kinds of diseases, and the Lord healed them. They'd never seen anything like this before. But by the way, they had heard it prophesied before that there would be one that would come that would heal all manner of diseases. And there watching him. They're looking at him. They're observing this. They want to see what this man can do and see if he really is who he claims to be. John chapter 2 says, they came because they saw the miracles. Now, I want you to see something else here, the second thing. Not only did they come because of the miracles, but because of the loaves. Look in chapter number 6 there, look at verse 26. The Bible says, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, and this is, by the way, this is after he had fed the 5,000. And he says, and then verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. They'd already done that. They came because of that. But now he says, you're coming because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled. And so here's the second thing. They were coming because, hey, this man gives us food. That's, by the way, in that day and age in which they live, Bible days, listen, they'd have to work all day long to earn enough money to be able to eat for one day. And here's a man that's giving away free food. You better believe they're going to do everything they can to try to follow him because of these loaves. And by the way, not only does he doesn't just give you a little bit, he gives you enough that will fill you up. He's going to fill you, he'll give you enough to fill up. All right? But then they came because of the miracles. They came because they were filled and they were eating. And boy, they really liked that. But in verse number 60, we find here that something else now is getting ready to happen. Look at verse 60. He says, many, therefore, of his disciples, these same people that he's talking about, when they heard this, and he's teaching here on he's talking about bread, and he's talking about his body and all these things. We'll look at that. And when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? All right, so they liked the miracles. Boy, they enjoyed that. They wanted to see what he could do. They wanted to see this power. They followed him because of the loaves. Boy, they really enjoyed that. They were filled, and man, they were satisfied. But now Jesus is going to confront them with what they really need. You see, they really didn't need a meal. They needed spiritual truth. That's what they needed. They needed to know about Jesus. They needed to know of their sinful condition. They needed to know that he was the one that had been prophesied before, that he was going to come, and this is the one that they were looking for, and they should accept him and believe on him as their Messiah. All right? So I want you to see here. I want us to look at some things. Look at verse number 27. We're going to walk through some things here and see what he's trying to teach them that has discouraged them and made them turn back away from him. Look at what he says here in verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. What is he talking about? He says, don't work so hard trying to get food that's just going to feed your body and it's not going to satisfy you and it's not going to last. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now, look on down. He said, and they say unto him, he tells them this, and they're saying, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You said, well, we shouldn't work, but, you know, what are these works that we can do? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. What is it? That you believe on him who hath sent you. All right? So Jesus says, don't work for these things that's going to perish. Don't work for these things that's not going to last. Say, hey, you need food that you can eat and you'll never hunger again. That's what you need. And he said, okay, what's this work? Hey, tell me what this work is. Tell me what it is I can do. Tell me something I can do so I never have to eat again and I'll always be full. You see, they have this physical bread in their mind. Jesus is not talking about physical bread. Hey, Jesus is talking about the spiritual needs in their life. He says, here's what you do. Believe on me. Believe on me. That's what you need. That's what you have need of. Believe on him whom he has sent. Talking about God, talking about Jesus there, all right? And they said unto him, they go on, they're questioning him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Well, wait a minute. Had you not seen the miracles? You followed him because of the miracles. Didn't you see miracles? Didn't you participate And when he fed 5,000 people, over 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes, didn't you see that? What sign do you want? What sign could you expect? Listen, he'd showed them so many things already. That's, you see, all they wanted was a show. They were looking for something physical. What sign are you going to show? Verse 31, they go on, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that. It wasn't Moses that gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father, which giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Look at what they said. Boy, this is, hey, now we're getting somewhere. This is what we want. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. This is what we want right here. We have found exactly what we've been looking for. Lord, give us this bread and we'll never have to hunger again. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread. What? Right here, standing right dead in front of you, this is what you need. And he goes on and he tells them, listen, unless you receive me, and he uses illustrations here, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, he's talking about himself, unless you receive me, as I am, unless you receive me into yourself. Jesus said, if you don't receive me, you'll have no part of me. You're not going to be satisfied. The world's bread will never satisfy anybody. Folks, listen, what Jesus is trying to teach here, listen, there's something that goes beyond physical bread. Physical bread will last, it's temporary, but listen, what we need some of that bread of life. And once we take that bread of life, listen, Jesus said, and he says it in many other places, if you eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. If you drink this water, you will never thirst again. That's what we need. That's what we have. And the Lord, listen, the Lord is trying to teach these disciples, his apostles here. He says, listen, the greatest need anybody has is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's trying to get across to these people. And then we read in verse number 60 again, and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? What are they saying here? You know what? We just can't hear this. This is too much for us. Right here in front of them is the very thing that they need, but you know what they're doing? They're saying, you know what? We don't believe it. We don't believe it. And we are really, what they're saying is we reject this. And the Bible says, and from that point on, many of these disciples, many of these same people that had followed because of what they could get out of it, they're going to turn away and they're not going to follow him anymore. They're not going to follow him anymore. All right? So the second thing I want us to see here, I want us to see the apostles. Look back in Mark chapter 6. And this is, we'll stay here for the remainder of the message, all right? Mark chapter 6, we're going to see here the apostles. Look in Mark 6, verse number 30. The apostles, here we are, the second group, gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things what they had done and what they had taught. And so here they are. They're coming to Jesus. They're reporting. They're giving him information, telling him all the things that they had done. You know what Jesus realizes here and what Jesus is going to show them. By the way, I hope he's showing us here tonight. This is exactly some of the same things that we need here. All right. The Lord knew that these men were going to need some rest. He knew that they needed to draw away from the crowd and be alone with Jesus for a period of time. Now, he doesn't tell us the period of time, and you know, the different accounts here tell about different things that's going on, and we don't know for sure how long they were able to be with the Lord, but there was a period of time that they needed just to be by themselves with the Lord. Folks, can I tell you that if we ever are going to meet the needs of anybody, if we're ever going to be able to minister to anybody, we've got to have something that we can give them to eat. We've got to have something. If you're going to minister to somebody, you've got to have something that you're going to be able to give them. Jesus knew the only way they could have that, the only way that it would ever get that, was to be alone with him. You see, the Bible tells us, not just here, but many other places, that, you know, there's something about getting alone with the Lord. There's something about being alone with him and just you and him, and you're talking and you're communicating one with each other. Listen, there has to be a time as a Christian that we get along with the Lord and get what he's got. We don't have anything. We don't have anything, but we need something. And the only way we're going to get something is to get it from him. All right? My dad always used to say there was a place. There was a place that he met with God. My dad was a truck driver. He left on Monday. He'd come back on Thursday. And so for three nights out of the week, he stayed at a motel. And he stayed at three different motels 1 week. And the next week, he stayed at three other motels. So there were six motels that he stayed at. When he went out, you know, three 1 week, three the next week. But he did that. He did that for, I think, like 20-some years of his life there. And every time he went to that motel, there was a place there. I don't know where it was at, but there was a place in that motel where he met with God. Now, when he was at home, he met with God at the kitchen table. You see, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter really necessarily the place or the surroundings or the furnishings. But it's a place that you meet with God. And everybody ought to have a place that you meet with God. Jesus called it, he said this, he said, when you pray, enter into what? Your closet. Enter into your closet. What's he saying there? There ought to be a place where you get alone with me. Jesus is saying there ought to be a place, there ought to be a time where you get alone with me. Mary and Martha learned that lesson. As Mary was sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was running around, and she was working, and she was busy, and she was doing all kinds of things. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus didn't say, what you're doing is wrong because you're working and laboring and trying to help everybody. That wasn't wrong. But what he said was wrong was because you missed the best part. You see, you could have been sitting in here like Mary was, learning from me, getting something from me. You could have been learning what I was teaching here. You could have been learning something about me that would have helped you and would have carried you on, but you were busy doing other things. By the way, can I just tell you, what's one of the great robbers of the Christian life? Busy doing other things. Not that those things are wrong, but it's just busy doing other things, and it takes us away from our time with God. Folks, can I tell you, if you don't set an appointment, if you don't set a time, if you don't set a place where you're going to meet with God, the chances are you probably are not going to meet with God. If you don't on purpose make a plan, make a time and a place where you're going to meet with God, you probably... Did I already say that? I want to say that again. I'm saying that for emphasis. I didn't know if y'all was with me on that. If you don't do that, you probably, most likely, will not meet with God. And you got to meet with God. You need to meet with God. I remember when I was working public work, and I forget what time I had. I lived on 65, and I had to be in Kernersville. And I can't remember what time I had to be there, but I had to be there. And there was a certain time I had to be there, in case I can't remember what time it was. But you know what? I remember a preacher coming through, and he preached something along this line. And he said, boy, you ought to have a time. If you don't have time, by the way, if you come home in the evening, what happens? If you come home in the evening, that's going to be your time. What usually happens? You're too busy. Too many things going on. You know, your wife wants to know what you've been doing that day. Your children are wanting to go outside and play. Somebody's calling. Somebody's wanting to do this. Somebody's wanting this, that, or the other. And by the way, most of the time we're so tired, we don't care anyway what happens, except if just give me some food, bring it in the bed. I'll just lay here in the bed and I'll eat it and lay here and die. And I'll try to get up the next day. So if we don't do it in the morning, again, we're probably just not going to be able to do it. Get up in the morning. You say, well, man, I get up early in the morning. I don't really have time. Well, you got as much time as anybody. Everybody's got the same amount of time. Listen, if you have to get up at a certain time, get up 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. Get up 15 minutes earlier and get in there and open your Bible and at least read two or three verses of Scripture. By the way, if you can't do anything, read one verse of Scripture. meet with God before you go out and try to meet this world. Listen, there's got to be a place, there's got to be a time we meet with God. And that's what I think the Lord is trying to teach His men here. Listen, you got to get away from the crowd. You got to get away from the ministry. You got to get away from doing all these things for all these people. And there just needs to be some time that you get alone with me. By the way, if that was good for the apostles, it's good for us too. You better believe it. It's good for us. They needed to rest, but they needed time with Him even more. Can I tell you, these disciples, their vision was messed up. If we went through here and looked, and I challenge you to do this, go back after the message here tonight, go back and read and look and see how the disciples saw this situation, and then go back and read and look and see how Jesus saw this situation, how He saw the people. Here's some of the things that the apostles said. This place is barren. The time, it's late. The people, there's just too many people. And the need is even greater. You see that? The apostles, what they're saying is, this is impossible. We are in an impossible situation and there's no way out. There's not one thing that we can do. Now, folks, have you ever heard or have you ever said anything along those lines when God has asked you to do something, or when God has asked the church to do something, or when God has asked somebody to do something great for Him? What do we say? It's impossible. It's just impossible. You know what's wrong? Our vision's wrong. Our vision's wrong. It's all messed up. We're looking at it through our eyes. We're looking at it through our abilities. We're looking at it by how we would handle this or how we would do this. And folks, listen, we've got it all wrong. You see, because without Him, what? We can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. All things are possible. The place is barren. The time is late. People, too many. The need is even greater. The apostles said, let them buy something for themselves. In other words, send them away. Get them out of here. Get them away from us. It's almost like they're a little bit agitated that these people are here. You know, we often say, kidding, you know, if it wasn't for people, the ministry would be great. But these people just mess it up, you know. Always got problems. Always... That's a joke. Did y'all laugh? I couldn't hear you from up here, if you was laughing or not. But, boy, I tell you, you know, send them away. Let them take care of themselves. Let them do something. Why would we want to send people away when we've got what they need? We've got what they need right here. Boy, we don't want the world. We don't want people that come in here going to the world for something that we have. We've got to give them. And folks, listen, if we're not ready, if we're not prepared, if we've not been alone with the Lord and got something from Him, we're not going to be able to give them something. And so folks, listen, it's on us. It's on us to take care of that. 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. They've calculated that that's almost a year's salary. And that would be just enough for them just to get a bite to eat. You know what? Here, listen to this. I wrote this down. I thought it was good. It is good to learn of our own weakness if it drives us to lean on His strength. Boy, I tell you, it's all right to find out and understand. Listen, we are weak. You better believe it. We can't do anything if it'll cause us to lean on. Listen, lean on Him. He can handle it. He can take care of it. Don't you worry about that. 5 loaves and 2 fishes plus Jesus Christ came to a good deal more than 200 penny worth of bread. Folks, let me just tell you, when Jesus enters into the equation, it solves all the issues. There's just no problems after that. Jesus can handle and take care of it all. All right, then I'm going to give you the third thing here real quick. The last group that I want us to see, and that's Jesus. You see, there just has to be a time that we spend with the Lord, getting along with Him, finding out. Listen, He wants to teach us so much. You know, really, the only way, I'm going to be honest with you. You can read your Bible, and you should read your Bible. I read my Bible. And sometimes I read through it, and I can't even remember what I just read. And if I didn't have it marked, I wouldn't even know what passage I just read. Y'all ever done that? Sure. Well, can I tell you, that's better than nothing. But can I tell you that I just don't think that's what the Lord wants us. I don't think that's what He has in mind. When we read our Bible, listen, He wants to teach us something. He's wanting to show us something from the Word. Listen, He wants us to get in the book so He can teach us. By the way, can I tell you, and I was talking in my Sunday school class this morning about this thing. Listen, when we read the Word, when we hear a message, God wants us to change. He don't want us to stay the same. What's wrong with us is we're the same. That's the problem. You see, we need to change. We need to get rid of this. If we're walking down the road and it's the wrong road, get off the road. Turn around and go back. Go get on the road that God wants us to get on. Learn what He wants us to learn. Understand what He wants us to understand. By the way, He said, I will guide you into all truth. God wants us to show us. He wants to show us what's in the Word here. I tell you, the greatest thrill I have when I read my Bible is when God shows me something I've never seen before, even though I've read it many times before. God shows me something. I'm telling you, it's amazing to think that this Word never gets old. This Word, we can read it and we can read it and we can just keep on learning from the Word. We can just keep on learning. Boy, I tell you, it's just unbelievable sometimes to think about that. All right? I want you to see something else. Jesus said, and look at verse number 34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when He came out, by the way, Jesus was tired. He was exhausted, no doubt. He was tired. And He saw much people. What did He say? Send them away. Get rid of these people. No, the Bible says He was moved with compassion. You see, folks, can I tell you that sometimes if we're not careful, we'll see an opportunity to minister to somebody as... what's the word I'm looking for? As a distraction, as a inconvenience, as something that we think, oh no, this is going to take forever. Man, this is going to take some time. Well, do you know, it shouldn't be that way at all. Amen. I mean, Jesus looked on these people and He says, you know what, these people, can I tell you these people were uninvited people? The Lord didn't. Who did He invite? He invited the apostles. He didn't send out an invitation to these people. They saw Him and they run out and they told all these people, hey, we found out where He's going to be. Let's go get Him. Let's go out there. Let's see what He's got. And they came unannounced, uninvited. But the Bible says when He saw them, He was moved with compassion. Why? He loved those people. He loved them. Why? Because He knew that he had the answer to what they needed. He knew He had the answer. By the way, most of these people turned back, and we read the passage, they turned back and they never followed Him again. But you know what? He still was moved with compassion. He loved those people. He loved them. And He wanted to minister to them. He wanted to help them. He wanted to try everything He could to help those people to see what they really needed. All right? We are able, when He is with us, to meet any need that He asks us to meet. Jesus said, look at what He said. He said, they need not depart. Peter, these apostles said, I think it was Andrew said, listen, we ought to, the time is so late, if we don't send them out, if we don't send them away, they're going to fall by the wayside. Jesus said, there's no need for them to depart. There's no need for them to go anywhere. We've got what they need. We've got it. And we can help these people, all right? We can take care of these people. They need not depart. And then He turns over and looks at them and says, you give them something to eat. You do it. And you know what they said? By the way, again, There's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. I don't think he was rebuking them for this. I think he was wanting them to realize they didn't have anything to give them. But you know what? If they had something, or whatever they had, if they gave it to him, then the need would the need would be met. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. He said, "Well, what do you got?" By the way, has the Lord ever asked you what do you have? What do you got? He asked Moses. He said, "Moses, what do you got in your hand?" Moses said, "All I got is a stick." He asked others, "What do you got in your hand?" And they told him. Well, when they gave it to the Lord, God turned that thing around and he used it in a great way. They had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they were right. What is that among so many people? What difference does it make if I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes? But when they gave it to Jesus, you see, he multiplied it and sent it out. And they had more. They had more when they took up the fragments than what they had before they gave it to him. All right? You know, some people say, you know, if we're not careful, we'll fall in this same category. Some say it is never the right time or place for God to work. But you know what? That just ain't true. It just ain't true. Anytime and every time is the right time for God to work. And by the way, God wants to work. God wants to work. And by the way, God wants to work through you. You. God wants to use you. I don't care who you are. By the way, in this instance right here, God used a little boy, just a little boy, that had some food in a paper sack, or they didn't have paper sacks back then, whatever they had, probably it was a lunchbox, whatever it was. What was it? Cars, one of them cars, lunch boxes. Had the little thermos in them, you know, had the thing over. But whatever they had, whatever he had that food in, you know what? He was willing to give it to Jesus. He's willing to give it to the Lord. Now, you know, by the way, that's probably a pretty good miracle right there. You know, not many children, not many young people would be willing to give up their meal to a stranger, somebody they never knew before. But you know what? He did. And boy, I'm telling you, I guarantee you he was glad that he did. Because he got to see something. He got to be a part of something that he had never would have been a part of had he not been willing to give what he had to the Lord. What have you got in your hand? What have you got? If you say nothing, you know what? You're just in the right place. You're just in the right situation. Because if you got nothing, that's exactly what God wants to use and use in you to do something great. If you'll just give it to him. Give him anything and everything that you have. But when we boil it all down, we don't really have anything to give. We don't really have anything. But you know what? Give what you got to God. Let him use it. And he sure will bless it and multiply it. Well, I tell you, a great miracle was performed that day. But I believe God used it and wanted to use it to teach us how we can minister to people.